Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Howdy, hour number two on this Football Monday around the country. Tiki and Tierney, come on in. Pick them up as we are just blasting around all the great stories, all the incredible performances, the ones that really left you a bit befuddled, which we'll get into here with the Browns. And we're doing this from our studios, the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. When you need an expert to help navigate the home loan process, Rocket can. By the way, next segment, Big Ten stuff. And we'll get into inbounds, out of bounds. Usually we do that in the first hour of the show, but during football season, five-star rewind is a 340 Eastern, 1240 Pacific staple. So we just bump IBOB down into the second hour. Hopefully everybody's doing well. And enjoy the football. Great to have it back. Great to hear the announcers. Great to see these amazing athletes do what they do. I don't know how they do what they do. I don't know if it's because, this is a quick aside before we get into the Browns. I don't know if it's because there was no, even though there was noise piped in, I get that, but less noise than we're used to. And the hits were amplified. But yep. Some of those hits yesterday, I mean, I don't know how you guys do it, man. I would not get up. I wouldn't get up. The hits were funny. Just ferocious.
Yeah, I can remember getting hit and not being bothered by it. I can remember retiring for a year and saying, yeah, I could take this hit. About 5 years later, I was like, dude, how in the world did I do that for a living?
I can imagine.
Because especially now, as I'm 182 pounds or whatever it was. It's like, I mean, it's literally 30 pounds.
The flyweight, Tiki Barber. Yeah,
it's 30 pounds less than what I played at. And I think about having to take a hit like that now. I mean, forget it. Forget it. But these guys are tough.
They really are.
Get paid for.
Yeah, there's a lot of young athletes out there. Kyler Murray and obviously Lamar, who was great. And Josh Allen, some of the good quarterback performances. Some of the old guys look pretty good as well. Aaron Rodgers, 4 touchdowns, a lot of stuff. We'll hit it all.
The greatest meme I saw was Jordan Love. What am I doing here exactly?
I didn't see that. Nothing, really. Exactly. I mean, collecting dust for a while, basically, if you want to know the real answer. All right, so I think it's hard to dispute that in terms of the absolute most inept performance yesterday, to me that was the Jets. But that doesn't matter because nobody's got expectations for the Jets.
Yeah.
The worst performance by a team that's going to have a buttoned-up offseason, new coach, and we're going to stop talking and start doing, a team that's going to be a threat for a playoff spot, a team with talent everywhere, absolutely was the Browns. What a horrific, pathetic, pitiful performance by the Browns. What in the world was that?
That's the only way you can put it, BT. I mean, they scored the first touchdown. David Njoku was like, all right, David wanted to get traded. They got Njoku in the first quarter. You missed the extra point. By the way, Seibert is gone. Their place kicker has been released, and Cody Parkey has been signed from the practice squad.
And Njoku's hurt.
Exactly.
He's so, on the IR now.
Are you surprised?
Got hurt last year. Hurt his wrist, remember?
That's right. It's been 2 out of his 4 years he's been hurt. Yeah. Great talent, but just never lived up to, never was available. That's what it comes down to. Where to start with this?
I don't know. You take me. I'll follow you.
You know what? I'm going to start with the positive. And that's not even their team. Okay. The Baltimore Ravens are damn good. And they are just good. They got better, it seems like, than they were last season. Lamar Jackson had these, you know, there was this thought, defensive coordinators are going to figure them out. Hey, no, they're not. And they're not because it's math. It's simple math. When you have good running backs, as they do, and a good tight end, as they do, and you have a good offensive line, as they do, you simply can't get to them. And if you decide to, we're going to take Lamar Jackson out of this game, then Mark Ingram or J.K. Dobbins are going to run wild on you. And so you have to make a choice. Who are you going to let hurt you more, right? Is it your quarterback or is it going to be the running back? And so the math doesn't add up to defend against Lamar Jackson, especially when he has, you know, Hollywood Brown, who's just a blazer, had a really great game. You know, like, he didn't score a touchdown, but he had over 100 yards receiving. And Mark Andrews, a tight end who scored 2 touchdowns. How do you defend them? You're confused with how they run and whether they're running the ball or whether it's a pass play. And all of a sudden, someone's scooting free, and Lamar Jackson, you know, gets it to him. This Ravens team, and their defense is better. So this Ravens team is as advertised. And while people think that they're going to be slow down and Lamar's going to, I don't know, come to earth, I don't see it happening. It's just too hard to defend them because of the math that defenses have to try to figure out on a weekly basis.
And they're well coached.
That's the best part about it.
So they're always emotionally stable.
That's right. That's exactly right. They're not going to go through these like ups and downs of, no. Oh, we're good. No, we're not good. Oh, we lost this game. That's not them, right? Mm-hmm. They're uber confident. And it's because of the talent that they have on that squad. All right, now to the Browns.
Yeah, I'm waiting for the bed. There's a lot of it.
So there was something I saw early in the game, BT, and mm-hmm. very rarely do I even pay attention to this, because quarterbacks are, I mean, from the time they're 12 years old, if you have potential, you are trained on the fundamentals of how do you take a snap, what's your shoulder angle. How do you, get your hips into the throw so you can get more distance? How do you take a drop back, whether it's under center or whether it's from the shotgun? Early in this game, BT, I saw Baker Mayfield do something that it caught me because it was so odd. Okay. He looked like he was a novice taking a three-step drop. Right. And so most people probably didn't see this. Only reason I saw it is because I happened to flip to the channel as soon as he took the snap. Okay. And I saw him like jump out of center. So basically you get a snap and you take your three steps, and it should be comfortable. Right. It should be all right. 1, 2, 3. I hit my spot and I'm ready to get the ball out. Right. Mm-hmm. He was leaping back. Like, so he's leaping back to get distance away from the line of scrimmage. He took his three steps and then he was all off kilter. And what it told me is that this issue that we've talked about many times, 3 seasons, 4 head coaches, and 3 offensive coordinators, right? 3 seasons, 4 head coaches, and 3 offensive coordinators. Baker Mayfield hasn't had any consistency on being taught how to be a professional quarterback. And so what's happening is he's thinking all the time. You know what I mean? He's not trusting himself, right? You practice hard. You learn new, what you're supposed to do. You practice, you grind, you practice, you practice, you practice, you practice, so that when you get into a game, you don't think about it. You just do it, right? When I saw him taking that 3-step drop, it told me Baker is thinking right now. He's not doing. He's thinking. And when you're thinking, you make mistakes because the game happens so fast. Right, it's too much going on. There's defenses moving. There's big bodies flying at you. There's offensive linemen falling at your feet, and someone coming down your throat. And if you're thinking, you're not going to execute. In the first quarter, I knew that the Cleveland Browns had no chance because Baker Mayfield is not at that level yet. He's not. And I don't know how he can be with 4 head coaches and 3 offensive coordinators in 3 seasons. But that's what's going to hold them back. As great as their talent is. Right. And it's all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
It starts with the fundamentals, which he doesn't have locked down yet. And it sounds simple and people want to hear other things like, oh, well, Odell's going to do this and, XYZ is going to do this and Myles Garrett's got to do this and Kevin Stefanski's got to do this. But it starts with your quarterback, and fundamentally he's flawed right now. And that, I don't know how you fix that once the season's already started.
But then how did he play so well as a rookie?
Because as a rookie, he was in the shotgun almost every single
snap.
So then
put him back there.
I agree, but that's not what Kevin Stefanski wants. You know why Kevin Stefanski doesn't want that? Because he wants to turn around and hand the ball off to Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt.
Not bad options.
It's not bad options, but in order to do it effectively in the NFL, like to do it till you have like a 1,600 or 1,800-yard season from your running backs, you got to be under center, right? And Baker Mayfield just isn't comfortable under center. And if you're Kevin Stefanski and you want to run the ball downhill and have cutback lanes and pulling guards and all this misdirection, you got to be under center. You have to. And Baker Mayfield, because that sets up play action. So you do the same action. You turn around, you hand the ball off to Kareem Hunt. You turn around, you hand the ball off to Nick Chubb, and you pick up, you know, 5-6 yards of pop. Ultimately, you turn around, you hand, oh, wait, he pulls it back in. You got play action, linebacker suck up. Baker Mayfield makes a big throw. Odell Beckham goes 60 yards, or Jarvis Landry goes 80 yards for a touchdown, whatever it may be. Mm-hmm. Baker has to be under center for this system to work, and he's not comfortable in it. He's fundamentally flawed in it when you watch how he goes to his steps. And when he's doing that, he's thinking. And when you're thinking, you can't be successful in the National Football League. It happens way too fast.
I don't think you could be successful at anything if you're really mechanically thinking. And no matter what it is.
That's right.
We always joke around about golf, but how many times have you...
Dude, that's why I suck.
Me more than you, because I get in my own head more, but I'm like, all right, take it here, do this, do that. And then before you know it, you're like...
Yeah.
Whereas when you just swing, you flush it.
That's right.
So he's got to stop thinking on his backswing for the...
That's right.
To hit that angle. Here's what's amazing, though. They ran the ball. They averaged over 5 yards a carry yesterday, right?
Yep.
So imagine 5.1, I think it was. Imagine, just if you were like to throw out some general thoughts, like just theorizing about what a team should do based off of these givens. The one would be the 5.1 yards per carry.
Yep.
And it wasn't like they ran it 13 times. They ran the ball, I think, almost
27.
I was going to say almost 30. Okay.
Yeah.
So the run was there. It was constant, and it was functional and flourishing, really, from the opening kick to the final horn. So it was there. So you've got the running game. You've got the number one overall quarterback, number one overall pick at quarterback. The running backs, one is the best, one of the five best in football.
Right.
Number two last year, right? You're talking about Nick Chubb.
Yep, second in the league.
Second in the NFL in total yards behind Derrick Henry from the Titans, who's playing Tiki's Giants tonight. The backup just got a 3-year extension.
Yep.
And led the
league 3 years ago.
I was going to say, if you put him on 12, 13, 14 teams, he'd probably lead the league again. Then you get to, maybe the most, I know the star is dimming on Odell, obviously, and we'll get to him more in a moment, but you've got one of the most talented wideouts in Beckham. You've got another incredibly talented wideout in Jarvis Landry. Even with Njoku going down, you got Austin Hooper via the trade. So you have very functional, if not borderline, higher end play at the tight end spot. You bring in Jack Conklin for a gazillion trillion dollars at age 26, entering his prime. You draft Jedrick Wills, another. So you've fortified your old line. You've got one of the three or four, maybe even two or three best defensive ends in football in Myles Garrett. Your safety play is pretty good with Carl Joseph and the other kid. All those things going for you, especially with the 5.1 yards per carry, you should have scored 40 points.
Mm.
They scored 6.
Yeah.
And what's frightening about this, it's going to get really good quick or going to get really bad quick, because they're playing two teams right now that they'll be favored to beat. It's the Battle of Ohio all of a sudden in week two. Now, you can tell me what the Bengals is. Bengals should have won the game, should have beat the Chargers yesterday.
They didn't play well, but they should have won.
They didn't play particularly well. I don't disagree, but Joe Burrow showed a little something.
Yep.
And they've got pros everywhere. A.J. Green's back healthy. Joe Mixon's a good runner. They got some players, some guys on defense that are still there. So you got the Bengals. If you lose that game, oh, my God. And then you play Washington in week three, and I know Washington's going to be better. You and I have been saying it all summer. Rivera's going to bring in competitive tone, and they're not going to be a joke anymore. But you're probably still supposed to beat Dwayne Haskins at this point. If you start out 0-3 or even 1-2, I mean, I don't know how you really recover from that.
Yeah, you don't this year.
Because they're so fragile, because
they're
not used to winning.
They don't know how to win.
Yeah.
There's no culture there.
True.
I mean, I love Myles Garrett. He had one tackle, BT. One tackle.
But did they run? I'd have to look at the next gen. How much did they run away from him?
I'm sure a lot.
You know,
but still, he was not disruptive. You're not sacking Lamar Jackson. I don't care how quickly you get in the backfield. So you just try to contain him. But he had one tackle. And ultimately, stats will lie to you. It doesn't necessarily indicate, and I haven't looked at his Pro Football Focus grade for the game over the weekend, but it just doesn't add up when we look at the statistics of the uber-talented players on the Cleveland Browns. Odell, you mentioned. Jarvis Landry's no punk either, man. Dude is good.
Very good player.
Right? He said, didn't he? He had the record for most catches in the first 4 or 5 years of his career. I mean, he's a good wide receiver.
I thought Beckham had that record.
Well, but Beckham ended up missing a couple of games. So I think they shared it like 1 and 2 the first 3 years, but then Beckham missed a bunch of games. And so Jarvis Landry jumped above him, and I think he still has it for the most catches in his first 5 seasons, whatever it may be, but still.
Did Michael Thomas eclipse that?
He probably will, because Michael Thomas is now in his fifth year?
Tweaked his ankle yesterday,
too. Yeah, he did his fifth year. My point is, Jarvis Landry's not a punk. You know what I mean? He's a good wide receiver.
Very good.
And you just can't get any of these guys going. They're bad on third down because they're in third and long situations way too often. They're inaccurate. This team, it almost feels like they're snake bitten. It almost feels like... No matter what they do, no matter what they like try to accomplish and get right, they can't get right. And I don't want to blame it on like factors that aren't real, right? Because it ultimately comes down to, can you execute, right? Can you catch balls? Can you run the football? Can you, you know, not throw interceptions? It comes down to tangible things, but it's hard not to look at the Browns and say, there's something else. He scored 6 points, BC.
I know.
Right? In the modern NFL, you score 6 points. That's
with
embarrassing.
With those weapons. With those weapons.
It's embarrassing.
That's what it is, you know, and that's what makes it really hard for – you know, the evaluation of my quarterback, because, you know, I know he made that horrendous throw against his body again. He's got to expunge that from his toolbox.
Yep.
He got to delete that, Sam Darnold. But, you know, I watched this poor guy take the field with a visionless head coach and 5 new offensive linemen, still no weapons. Bell gets hurt again. The Jets suck. And so you try to get a sense of, well, you know, and I still think that Darnold's good, but he needs help, and who knows how it works out. But the point being, Baker's got everything at his disposal.
That's right.
He's been handed the keys to a Porsche, and he's driving it backwards, man. He's driving it backwards. Got to get out of the garage.
I don't disagree.
At least Sam is making the Yugo, like, getting it on the highway, you know, before he has a tire fire, and he's got to jack it up and change the tire. Baker Mayfield has no excuse of all of – now, I know it's only one game, so I don't want to make this even though it might eventually equate to a referendum on his career. It's week one. We get it. He had a good rookie year, set the record, touchdown 27. I'm not going to bury him yet.
Mm-hmm.
But Baker Mayfield, you can make the argument of all the – not just first overall quarterbacks, of all the quarterbacks taken in the top five in the last 20 years.
Yeah.
This guy has been handed the most – and he is now in the process of probably beginning to do the least because he's regressing so fast.
Yep.
They're regressing.
Yeah. And
you
again.
Know, so I don't know what the answer is.
I don't fully blame him. I really don't. I've said it before, and I've said it for, I think, you know, this entire offseason. I thought it was three. It's actually four head coaches that he's had. Four head coaches because –
You count Greg Williams
as the – Because I count Greg Williams as the interim. Four head coaches and three offensive coordinators. It's not – you tweeted this. It's just not a recipe for, like, success. It's
you
just
can't.
Not, you just can't.
No,
you so can't. You don't fully blame him. But who the hell do you blame for Cleveland? It's like, right? Who is
he's
it?
Got, Teak, he's at the start. He's at the point now where he's got to start bearing the brunt of almost all of it.
Yeah.
Baker, in my opinion. Because, you know, you could talk about the other aspects, snake bitten, bad franchise, multiple coaches, coordinators, multiple GMs, good division, blah, blah, blah. Make some throws, dude. Make some plays. Get some points up early. Get a little vibe going. Get a little consistency. Get a little confidence and build on that. Right now, in my opinion, more so than anybody within that franchise, he is sabotaging their present and he is retarding their future.
Yeah.
I honestly believe that. It's not a hot take. It's just he stinks.
It's hard to disagree with that.
You know? And we'll get a break here. I put this up on my account earlier. And let's see. I just want to get the percentages. Which team or player faces the most pressure going into week two? Baker and the Browns, Gase and the Jets, Carson Wentz and the Eagles, or other? Mm. Right now, it's close.
It's Baker and Carson.
No, really? Distant third for him, yeah.
Interesting.
Baker and the Browns at 39%, Gase and the Jets at 37%, Carson at 22%, and inside of 3% for others, which have been Patricia, the Vikings defense, a few others kind of thrown in there. But that is ugly stuff right now for the Browns. We'll see. Better fix it. Better is not going away when you're the number one overall pick with that with that attitude. And he's still making these dumb commercials.
I saw
He's doing Hulu. He's still in the stadium. He's still sleeping in the stadium. And then he told us he was going away.
I agree.
But it's a whole new set of commercials.
I don't know if it's helping him.
It's not.
I know.
It's definitely not.
It's like, we don't want to see you. When you're balling, we'll watch you. But if you're not balling, we don't want to see you.
I don't want to see him at all, especially they force him down your throat. He's not playing well. All right. Coming up next, Big Ten. Oh, another week, another plan, another timeline. What's going on with the Big Ten and their season? Will there be one? Teague and I will get to that coming up next right here on CBS Sports Radio.
When you need auto parts fast, O'ReillyAuto.com is just a few clicks away. They offer convenient options for you to get your parts quickly. You can choose to have them delivered right to your door with free shipping on most orders over $35 or order online at O'ReillyAuto.com and pick up for free at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store. They'll even bring it out to you curbside. You can have your battery tested free of charge while you're there. And if it needs to be replaced, the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts can help you find the exact battery that fits your vehicle at a guaranteed low price. Like SuperStart batteries, exclusively at O'Reilly Auto Parts, designed to meet the electrical demands of today's vehicles. Get dependable power and performance from a SuperStart battery for your car, truck, motorcycle, lawnmower, boat, and more. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts or visit O'ReillyAuto.com today. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices, every day.
Okay, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free lines, 1-855-212-4227. It's 855-212-4CBS, brought to you by Geico. Do you know that right now Geico offers an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Just visit geico.com to learn a little bit more. Inbounds, out of bounds coming up next segment, 440 Eastern, 140 Pacific. NFL tonight, two games as the customary start to the NFL week one doubleheader on Monday, which is, I wish they had it every Monday, really, to be honest with you. We'll get a look at Tiki's Giants, Daniel Jones year two, somebody that you and I both really like, Joe Judge, his debut, Big Ben's elbow, see where he's at, Derrick Henry and the Smash Mouth Titans coming at you, Drew Lock and the Broncos, Jerry Jeudy, wideout, Cortland Sutton, we'll see if he plays. Big fantasy issue there, too. So a lot of angles to that. Should have some good football tonight. Looking forward to it. Listen, I mean, let's get back to the Big Ten, which has been a carousel of inconsistencies here. Now, we know that they're voting to resume theirs or to start their season in mid-November. The one we don't have the results of the vote yet, but the one thing that we do know is that I know that Rebecca Blank, who is the chancellor for Wisconsin, because there were some thoughts about what would happen. Would there be some teams that might come back and others not? She intimated strongly that it would be the entire Big Ten Conference in unison, or there'd be no, you know, either we're all back or nobody's back, which I think was a little confusing to some here. But, you know, Teague, I mean, at this point, you know, I don't know, man. I'm sitting there and I'm watching some games this weekend, and I said it on Friday. You know, Notre Dame's playing, you know, Clemson's playing, Carolina was ranked, they were playing. You know, if I'm a Big Ten coach, let's go, let's play.
Yeah, no, they want to, but they feel like they're being, you know, being left out because of the presidents and the chancellors. And it's hard for me to blame the administrators of these universities. All of them have had some sort of issue over the last couple of months. Michigan State was, remember, their program was shut down and the entire team was put into quarantine, as was Rutgers, even though it's on the East Coast, but they're still part of the conference. They were put in quarantine and shut down for a couple of weeks. Wisconsin had a little bit of an outbreak, and all these students and these classes are all off campus and are all via Zoom or whatever, via you know, virtual right now. So like the logistics of just going to school are so difficult, and without proper testing, or at least question marks around the testing, the Big Ten did what they felt was the right thing to do: protect their kids and cancel slash delay the season. But there's been new developments, and the new developments were inevitable, which are faster, more reliable, rapid testing, so you can test these kids whether it's two or three times a week or every day if need be. And that's what you've seen in the ACC and the SEC and the Big 12. They're testing frequently. As a result, you're getting some positives. And ultimately, that's not a good thing. Mm-hmm. The Virginia Tech game, which was supposed to be this upcoming weekend, has been canceled, or at least postponed, because Virginia Tech had a little bit of an outbreak. We saw the Big 12, they canceled two games from last weekend because of COVID issues. And it's going to continue to happen because you can't control these kids. When they play a game and or go to practice, they go out and they hang out for a little while, it can create a spread environment. And so the only way to be, safe is to constantly test. The Big Ten didn't believe that they could constantly test. And so they postponed, they pushed off their season. And it was the right thing to do, despite all of the parent protests and the coaches half whining. Why are these guys playing and I can't? I got to tell my kids that they can't play. And even while they're watching everybody else play, I mean, it's a safety thing. And the Big Ten did it right, even though they're getting some pushback on it.
But then why aren't they remaining married? I know things have changed, but yeah, to an extent. But just remain married to your decision.
When there's an absence of an explanation, doesn't it always seem to come down to money? Doesn't it always seem to come down to revenue?
It does, but we were under no illusions otherwise. We knew this was all about money even before they decided how they wanted to package it and present it.
I agree.
We knew it was about the money.
I agree. And I think what they fear is that the football world is just going to go forward, the ACC, the SEC, and the Big 12. They're going to play. They're going to have the bowl games because these bowl games, they're already sold, right? So teams that are 4-whatever – like 8 or 6 or whatever games they play, are going to play in bowl games this year because these bowl games are going to happen. You know what I mean? They're the ads or the sponsor bid, it's already been paid for. They're going to happen. And there's money associated with playing in those bowls. And the Big 12, Big 10 and the Pac-12 are missing out on these opportunities. Now, we have some momentum to play in the Big 10. There is not any in the Pac-12.
Zero.
And these two have been in lockstep for a lot of this, in large part because they share bowls, right? The Rose Bowl is usually, a Pac-12 and a Big Ten team.
Yep.
And so, so they've been in lockstep. The complication, and I can't, by the way, I can't discount that was one of the reasons the Big Ten also decided to cancel their season, because the Pac-12 is in a very difficult spot. So many of their teams are in California, and until Governor Newsom says it's okay, then these kids, they're not playing in the Pac-12.
I think Pac-12 basketball is going to have a real issue. Forget about football.
That's a great point, BT. I didn't even think about it, but you're absolutely right, because they're saying no sports until the new year. So basketball, we think it's a winter sport. Oh, it's in January. It goes to March. No, it starts in November.
Starts early November.
And so there is a lot of complications that these conferences are trying to figure out. There's been a lot of pressure in the Big 12, Big 10, from parents and administrators and ADs and head coaches, and it's pushed it so that they're going to rethink it.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know if it makes sense.
I don't think they're changing this. But let me flip this by. And at this point, I don't think they should either. It would be too hasty for me.
Yeah, and we start playing in November. And the regular season for everybody else is over.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. I know I want to stay on time here because we have inbounds, out of bounds coming up next. But let's give us 30 seconds to a minute here, whatever. Let's say that they surprise us, and when we get the final results of the vote for the Big Ten, they elect to play and start their season. Let's say right now it's mid-October. Let's just keep it at that target, which seems a bit ambitious. But let's say mid-October. That means that the other conferences that are playing got a 6-7 week head start.
Yep.
How do you align this? Is there a way to align this so that they can actually be – a participant in the championship,
in the college football playoff?
Yeah.
Well, if they play an 8-game season, which is all conference, I guess you have to have a conference championship as well. That makes it like late December, mid to late December, when their season would end. So theoretically,
that's doable.
They could be in the college football playoff. But how do you start ranking the college football playoff in week, whatever it may be, like 8 of the ACC, SEC, and Big 12, make those rankings, and then stick in the Ohio States or the Michigans or the Wisconsins right into that equation? It doesn't make any sense. I don't know how you do that.
You probably lean on the preseason poll, which is not the fairest thing to do, or the most fair thing. But I hear you. That would be a little tricky.
So it's doable. The difference would be the SEC, the ACC. So let's say Clemson and Notre Dame, Alabama, Georgia, whoever it may be. Mm-hmm. And let's say Oklahoma from the Big 12. Mm-hmm. Their seasons will be done late November. They'll be chilling for a month. And the Big 10 will finish right before the playoff starts. So is there equity in that? I don't know if it's equal.
Make the case it might be more advantageous for the Big 10. They're well-rested.
That's right.
I mean, you say, well, rust versus rest. We'll get the answer one way or the other, but it's certainly pretty complex. We'll at least get you into that.
Yeah. It's not dead in the Big 10 is basically the point.
Yes. The one thing that we do know, again, the woman from Wisconsin basically strongly said, you know, hey, we're all in or that's it. There's not going to be five teams trickling in. Like Nebraska has been very outspoken, Ohio State, or either, the entire conference or none of us, which is pretty important news. All right, let's get the update from Mac coming up. Here come those Nuggets, down 3-1. This is what we do. We're just getting started. We don't sweat this. We'll get to the Nuggets and the Clippers. Can Kawhi and Paul George stop the bleeding? That's Inbounds Out of Bounds at the Racks update, which is right now. Here's Rich.
Nuggets really going to do this thing? We're going to get to Inbounds Out of Bounds coming up in a minute. Get to the basketball. First up, though, time now for Doing More. Brought to you by the Home Depot. Download the Home Depot mobile app today to get started on DIY projects and locate all your bath, carpet, and appliance solutions in one place. The Home Depot, how doers get more done. Well, they got another one. In his season debut on Saturday against Missouri State, Sooner quarterback Spencer Rattler, midseason form, 14 out of 17. Not great competition, to be fair, but still looked pretty dynamic. 14 for 17 for 290, four touchdowns, no picks, and he only played the first half. The freshman quarterback trying to extend OU's trophy streak, the Heisman Trophy streak, to 3 seasons. All right, busy NFL Monday here. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Hopefully everybody is doing well. Had a great weekend. Tiki, ready for a little Inbounds Out of Bounds?
Yep, some good things in this one.
There is. So that means I'll take that as a yes.
Yes.
Let's go.
Anything can happen in sports and often does. What's right? What's wrong? And who's just crazy? We decide. Inbounds and Out of Bounds now. Tiki and Tierney.
All right, Tiki, here we go. So in yesterday's Game 6 action, you could have easily lost sight of this being swallowed up by the NFL. But boy, if you watched this or tuned in to watch spurts, you saw a couple different games, really, depending upon when you tuned in.
Yep.
Now, the Nuggets trailed by 19 with just 22 minutes to go and their season hanging in the balance. They were down 3-2, obviously, at that point. But Denver refused to give in. They go on a 30-8 run. They rip it off with 8 different players scoring, contributions all over the map. They took the lead. They forced a decisive Game 7, and that's coming up. Kawhi was 3-10 in the second half, while Paul George shot just 4-12. So that is 7-22 combined, a little less than 33%. Not going to get it done by your two stars. In or out? We are more confident in the duo of Jokic and Murray right now than you are in Kawhi and Paul George.
This is a tough one, BT, because Kawhi and Paul George have only been together for a season and not that many games. I mean, there's a fair number of games, but not a full season because they took so much time off. Whereas Jokic and Murray have been together for 4 seasons now, and there's a consistency as well as a youth. I have to say out of bounds because Kawhi Leonard is Kawhi Leonard, an MVP, defensive MVP, and NBA championship MVP. And Paul George is Paul George, so he can turn it on at any time, but he also disappear. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to say out of bounds. I'm more confident in Kawhi and Paul George, but I think this actually comes down to these respective benches, whether it's Monty Morris and Michael Porter Jr., both 23-year-olds for Denver, or Montrezl Harrell and Lou Williams, who's 14 seasons in for the Clippers. I think ultimately that's going to be the difference in this game.
Interesting. You know, I'm going to answer this within the context of the series and not necessarily, you know, historically or even moving forward, which duo I would prefer. Although it might actually be the same answer. I'm going to say inbounds. I'm going to say inbounds here. First of all, there's really no pressure on the Nuggets tomorrow night. If you really think about it, there's no
great
pressure.
Point. Yeah, they're not supposed to beat the Clippers.
No, that's number one. And let's face it, just like when you're up 3-0 or 2-0, you play with a freedom.
And when it's 3-3, when you were up 3-1, there's a tightness that I think invariably creeps into your game. Just based on, it's gone awry for an extended amount of period now. What I think is going to happen is this. Very confident Jokic shows up, does his thing. Very confident Kawhi shows up and is Kawhi. The two variables are the two other guys, Jamal Murray and Paul George, and both are prone to some duds. I think that Paul George is prone to more duds, and that's why I'm going to go with this duo. I'll be honest. I love Denver coming into the season. I've touted them all year. I did bail on them, to be fair, when they were down 3-1. I'm like, I don't see it.
Who can? I mean, nobody recovers from
that. Yeah, but I'm pissed because I was really riding them for a little bit. I've given them a lot of props, and I bailed. So I can't just jump in the side door and say, you see, I told you. No, I thought that when they were down by that 3-1, I thought it was over. But, you know, there's a certain energy now, and I don't know who's necessarily going to win, and you might be right about the ancillary parts that are not so ancillary at this part, determining who wins. But of the question, those two guys, a little more confidence in Denver's duo right now.
Are you in or are you out?
All right, so after the Lakers bounced the Rockets, Mike D'Antoni informed the team. How about this? We thought Mike was going to get fired.
Yeah.
Instead, D'Antoni told them, I'm not coming back. How about the stones on this guy?
That's great.
Right? Isn't that crazy? So while D'Antoni's name's been linked to the Sixers opening, I wouldn't hire D'Antoni.
Yeah, how does that work?
I wouldn't do it.
They don't have shooters. Seriously, is he going to change his stripes?
I don't know. No, and if that's what you're hiring to do, then you're hiring the wrong guy.
That's right.
The Rockets have been looking at possible replacements as well. All right, so at the top of the list, Jeff Van Gundy, who already coached there, and current Clippers assistant Sam Cassell. As we remember, Cassell won a couple of chips back with the Rockets back in 94-95. Kenny Smith, of course, the great Hakeem Olajuwon team, Rudy Tomjanovich. So in or out, Cassell, Robert Horry. Cassell would be better as an option than Van Gundy, in or out?
This is another good question. I'm going to say inbounds. I like new blood, and I like these younger coaches, even though Sam Cassell's not young. You know, he's not like he's 30-something. He's mid-40s, maybe late 40s at this point.
Yep.
He's been on a really good staff for the last couple of years with Doc Rivers, with the Clippers. He's got a great reputation in the business, and I think he'll have the respect of James Harden. Russell Westbrook may be a little bit harder, but depending on what type of system he's going to put in, I'm going to say youth will rule the day here. So I'm going to say, inbounds.
I'm going to say out of bounds here. And this is not any shade at Sam. He very well might be a good to very good, if not beyond that, NBA coach. But he also might bomb. And it's the scoreboard of coaching. You're either really good or you're not. And if there's a long adjustment period, you're burning whatever remains of James Harden's prime. I've got to bring somebody in here that I know from minute one is going to be on point, and there's going to be a clear, decisive direction, and he's going to be able to juggle the media and all the different responsibilities of a coach and the pressures. Van Gundy's already done that. He's done it in multiple cities. Van Gundy is superior. There's nothing. If those are the two figures that you're debating, do I bring back Jeff or do I hire Cassell and take a flyer on a guy who might be good? I got to go with the guy who already is definitely good. I'm going to go with Van Gundy.
Are you in or are you out?
All right, here, T. Moving on. Yesterday, Cubs pitcher Alec Mills threw the Cubs' first no-no since Jake Arrieta. That was back in 2016. Just the fourth since 1972 for the kids from the north side, blanking the Brewers 12-0 and striking out 5. He walked 3. It was the second no-no of the season, with the first coming from crosstown rivals, the White Sox. Now, both Chicago teams sit in first in their respective divisions, with the Sox winning 30 games and the Cubbies right now currently at 28. In or out, the Cubs are a more legitimate World Series threat than the White Sox? In or out?
I'm going to say out of bounds because the Cubs still have the Dodgers in the NL. The White Sox, the White Sox have trouble too. Why not? I'm going to say out of bounds. I'll say the Cubs, the White Sox actually have a better shot, just because I kind of want to see it happen. It's hard to back this up. White Sox have been playing great, though.
They have been.
Over the entire restart. So I'm going to say out of bounds. I think the White Sox have if just as good, if not better, simply maybe because of the competition.
That's a good way to look at it, and I thought about that as well. Like, well, divisions, easier yep. road, blah, relatively easier to, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Expanded playoffs now, so.
Yep. I saw a lot of highlights over the weekend. I saw Jose Abreu had a two-home run game. He mashed one to dead center that I think it went like 460, hit the upper, you know, like the black up there. Timmy Anderson is really having a good year. Jimenez is hitting. These guys hit.
Yep.
I just feel like there's more ways for the Cubs to beat you. I like their pitching a little bit better. You would think they'd be a little bit more poised, being that they've got a lot of guys, Baez, Rizzo, some others, Chris Bryant, that have been there for a while, that have played in big games and won. Maybe that doesn't matter as much in baseball, but I would say the Cubs slightly over the White Sox. But White Sox, those prospects are paying dividends. This is not a mirage. They're going to be good for a while.
Are you in or are you out?
All right, last one here. And they got sweet. The White Sox have dope unis. They really do, don't they?
They really do.
They're sweet
colors.
And
we haven't paid attention to them for, I mean, years.
Yeah. Well, think about that. Dr. Dre used to wear the hat. That's what it started, you know? That's when you had Bo Jackson on the team. I mean, they got some sweet
the only
unis.
Time
Frank Thomas.
I remember paying attention to them is because of Chris Sale. Right?
Chris Sale.
That was it.
They did not have much. And Abreu came over about five or six years ago, but not. He's more of a tier two than a tier one. I got you. All right, the 14th rated. I'm curious how you answer this. Texas, all right? They crushed UTEP 59-3 on Saturday, but what happened in the second half is really what has everybody talking. Backup junior safety, former five-star recruit, by the way, B.J. Foster, quit the team. Third quarter, flat out, straight up left and quit, upset about his playing time. Now, despite his actions, he spoke with Tom Herman and the staff and will reportedly remain on the team. In or out, considering Foster quit during a game, Texas should not allow him back on the team.
I'm going to say out of bounds. I think they should let him back on the team. Every young man, and even if these guys are juniors and seniors, upperclassmen, they're still young men, and they're going to make stupid, emotional mistakes and decisions that put them at odds with people, in this case, his teammates. But I'm going to say out of bounds. They should allow him back on the team, but they should make him address the entire team and explain himself.
Yeah, I don't even know if that would work for me. I would like to know how he's perceived in the locker room. This could be a very easy decision.
Mm-hmm.
If he's one of these locker room lawyers, and you know the type, those guys that are always chirping. They're not doing a whole lot, but they're chirping a whole lot. Though, if he's one of those, I don't know that he is. He might be a terrific young man. I know he was highly rated, five stars. I'm not trying to impugn the young man's integrity. But if he is one of those, if he's abrasive, if he's not a hard worker, whatever it might be, if he's not reliable, if he's not all in, you use this maybe as the last, all right, you know what? It's time to go, man. We've had enough. It hasn't worked out. Goodbye. If he's really a well-received teammate who had a bad moment, that would alter how I view this. So, but without knowing that, I'm going to have to answer this from the top of the tower and say, you quit during a game? One thing during a practice, a game? I can't let you back on my team. You can't wear my helmet. I would not let you back. But I'd like to know more about the circumstances, to be fair to the young man.
Tune in next time for another edition of Inbounds or Out of Bounds with Tiki and Tierney.
Tiki, just want to give everybody a heads up. The last hour of the show is just on radio. Coming up next on CBS Sports Network, NFL Monday QB. So all the quarterbacks in the stable start breaking it down. All the good, Russell Wilson, Kyler Murray, Aaron Rodgers, Cam Newton, all the Gardner Minshew, all the bad. Who was really, really bad? Sam Darnold was terrible. Who else was really bad at the quarterback spot?
Baker
Mayfield was horrendous.
Even Tom Brady.
Tommy Boy. All right, third hour just on the radio. We'll catch you there. Back to the NFL. Tiki and Tierney rolls on.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.